Let's switch our focus this morning to the business of pets. As our dogs live longer, many of them will deal with pain. And a new report has some new information about just what kind of pain medicine is the best. Joining us this morning, Dr. Ashley Elaine Mitek, a teaching assistant professor in the Department of Veterinary Clinical Medicine at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Dr. Mitek, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
I know that you and your colleagues have developed a new online education program for veterinarians discussing this, but I'm curious as to what the impetus was to go down this road and look at how opioids and dogs mix.
That's a great question. It actually started a while ago, many years ago, actually, when I had finished vet school and was doing an internship in emergency medicine and surgery. And you kind of end up doing some of the grunt work as an intern. And the residents were asking me to handle prescriptions for their patients going home after orthopedic surgeries, like knee surgeries and hip surgeries. And so I was prescribing, several Tramadol prescriptions every day to mostly dogs. And I'd also have to start these dogs on the oral Tramadol, which is an oral opioid that's commonly used in human medicine and in veterinary medicine. And I noticed that when I was giving it to them, it didn't seem to work, first of all. And after a couple cases, I went up and talked to one of our specialized anesthesiologists and pain management experts at the college, and I said, I'm prescribing a lot of Tramadol pills every day, and it doesn't seem to be working in these patients. And he kind of looked at me and he laughed, and he's like, well, that's because it doesn't work in dogs. And I said, well, then why are we prescribing so many oral opioids as a veterinary profession when it doesn't work? And he said, well, you know, it's really because we haven't done a great job getting the word out about the new research. And also, it's really challenging to change prescriber behavior. And that's a phenomenon that we've also seen in human medicine, where human physicians were trying to do the best they could to control a patient's pain by prescribing oral opioids. But a lot of times they were prescribing them in situations where they weren't ideal, and they were also unaware of the risk associated with it. You fast forward a few years, and it really became prevalent or present to the veterinary community that we did have a role to play in the opioid epidemic. Veterinarians were seeing people coming in and doctor shopping and even doing things as severe as harming their own pet to get opioids and reporting that they were seeing these cases. And then that we kind of just, as a team, kind of put two and two together, and we're like, we really need to get the message out that, first of all, oral opioids don't work in dogs, and we really need to stop prescribing them as a veterinary profession. And the second part of it, which is much more complicated and harder to conquer, is it'd be really nice if we could say, hey, you know, Tramadol and other oral opioids don't work, but you need to prescribe this other medication. And actually, we're really challenged right now to have very, very good oral analgesics or pain medications that we can prescribe at home. And so part of the course, which is also available to the general public, we can't give CE or continuing education credit to non-veterinarians, but all the material is available online and on YouTube. But part of the course is trying to educate the veterinary community of what are some alternatives they can use to control pain in their patients.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of questions I want to follow up on, but that one is the big one, because as a dog lover, I've had dogs my whole life and have one now. It's news to me that the opioids for dogs don't work. So what do you do? What's the alternative?
There's a few options. So one point I want to make is that injectable opioids, so if you give morphine intravenously or in the muscle with a hypodermic needle, that works fantastic in dogs and cats and pretty much most mammals, including humans. So injectable opioids are fantastic, in particular in controlling acute pain. So, for example, we're going to talk, you know, we could talk about a dog that's going to have a spay or a routine knee surgery. We need to focus on, first of all, controlling the patient's pain when they're in the hospital, when possible. So a lot of veterinarians are always already very progressive about this. But part of the educational mission is to make sure that dogs are receiving injectable opioids when they're in the hospital, because those work great and they pose minimal abuse potential to the client. And then really keeping that patient's pain under control for the first 24 hours. And that may mean that the dog may need to stay a little bit longer in the hospital so they could receive injectable opioids that will work instead of the oral ones to go home. But the other thing we're finding that works really, really well in our cases here at the teaching hospital is we're more heavily relying on what we would consider local regional anesthesia. And what that means is, I'll use the example of a spay again, but where the surgeon would make that incision on the abdomen, we infiltrate that surgical site now with a particular local anesthetic. And we know that most of the dog's pain is going to come from that actual surgical incision, not necessarily the intra-abdominal pain that's hard for the body to localize. And so working with including local regional anesthesia, that can really decrease the amount of opioids that we need to rely on intra-op and can keep them really comfortable post-operatively. And then the other things that we would always advocate for, which aren't really new, but just keeping them in our toolbox, are things like non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. And those are things like meloxicam or carprofen, and a lot of times these veterinary-specific anti-inflammatories can work really well in dogs, decreasing their pain score. So it's we don't want to deter people from using injectable opioids. That needs to be a big workhorse in the hospital for controlling pain. They're the best thing we have for controlling pain in the world. But then the post-operative period, especially when the dog's going home, I think we just need to, again, it's just changing prescriber practices and get people more comfortable using this, using local anesthetics to control that pain regionally instead of systemically.
Yeah, and then the other part of this is the opioid crisis. I know that the federal government has asked all providers to come up with ideas and solutions. Do you get a sense that from the veterinary community that this is helping or is going to help?
It helps. We all hope it helps. It's something that's really hard to track right now. We know that there's at least 50,000 people dying each year from an opioid overdose, and we can roughly say that 40% of those deaths are traced back to a prescription. And definitely when I heard those statistics and our group heard those statistics, you know, to us, we think that even if we can save one life and we can help decrease the amount of opioid pills that are then going into the community. I mean, I think of how many people I know who, you know, you prescribe their dog Tramadol and they only give half of the prescription, and then they've got leftover oral opioids just sitting in their cabinet, which we know is such a terrible thing nowadays with the opioid epidemic. So it's something that we will continue to monitor. And from the surveys we have, there's only one survey, one good research paper out right now. We know in, for example, the past 10 years, the amount of oral opioids being prescribed by veterinarians has increased over 40%. And that's something that hopefully we can continue to watch over the next couple of years and make sure those prescribing rates are going down. And it's really interesting to me, the statistics parallel almost exactly what has happened historically in the human medical community, where the prescribing rates initially went up, and then now as we're trying to control the opioid epidemic, we really need to start to see, as the FDA has identified, it's really we need to provide a lot more education to the prescribers to change prescriber practices and get those statistics to come down. So hopefully I could come back in a year and tell you it's working great.
Well, we hope so,
but
too.
It is. It's just something that's a little bit harder for us to track, but we're gonna give it our best shot.
All right, Dr. Mitek, we appreciate you being on with us this morning. Thank you.
Anytime. Thanks, Steve.
Dr. Ashley Elaine Mitek, a teaching assistant professor in the Department of Veterinary Clinical Medicine at the University of Illinois.